Welcome to Laughing on the Inside podcast. Your host, Louise Farr, will be taking you on a journey of learning, inspiration, and fun. Louise started this podcast to help her learn about the human psyche, which will help her and her coaching business. What has happened is she has found just by doing the first few episodes that she has not only learned about others, but has learned more about herself, which means she can help her clients, new and old, even more. So do join Louise on this great journey of discovery. And if you would like more information, then do reach out on her Facebook page, at Lottie Global 2020. See you on the inside.
Hi, Eloise, and welcome to my podcast, Laughing on the Inside. I'm really pleased that you could join me today. Let's go straight into this. And can you tell me a bit about yourself, your background, where you're from, some of your careers, not all of them, but and why you've come to the point that you are to start with your new business called Fearlessly Feminine, and why you've called it that.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for having me, by the way. So I started life, working life, in the military. I joined the Navy when I was a teenager, and I was very much propelled promotion-wise in a very short period of time. And then I had my child and I left the Navy, and I still obviously always wanted to provide for my family. So I went into what I think a lot of women do, which is drive and strive mode. So I just kept going. I kept getting promoted. I kept getting more money. And I never really spent a huge amount of time looking at me and what I wanted. I did jobs with the police, jobs with some chartered organisations, jobs with utilities. And I came to realise very quickly that I was suffering some really physical ailments from being in that mode. I was suffering from depression, anxiety, even simple things like spots and some unexplainable aches and pains. So for me, when this dawned on me, I realized I needed to get back some balance. And what I needed to balance was the energy that I was using. I was in a very masculine energy. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what pushes us forward. That's what gives us progress. But when we sit in that energy all the time, it can cause extremities of our feminine energy. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm helping other women who are focused on their business, their work, their family, everyone but them, get back into balance and become fearlessly feminine.
Amazing. So what actually are your goals for the next 5 to 10 years? Where do you see Fearlessly Feminine go?
Well, it started off really fast. I wasn't expecting the number of clients that I had come to me. And what I realized is that I'm going to run out of time to help all these women that want help. So my goal for Fearlessly Feminine is that I'm going to be able to scale it in a way that means I can help hundreds, if not thousands, of women get back to being fearlessly feminine. So that's one goal for my business. For me, I want to provide financial freedom for my family, and that looks different for everyone else. But for me, that means that if everything went wrong, all my bills are covered. And if I had a couple of million in the bank, that would be amazing too.
Yeah, always helps, doesn't it? The couple of mil in the bank. Yeah,
it does.
So what helps you stay motivated every day?
Oh, now this is something that I talk about a lot with my audience. It's about motivation, and I'm going to say hands up, it is not easy to stay motivated every day. I think we all have days where it's easier to not even get up and get dressed when that's an option. Mm-hmm. So the number one thing that I find I've let slip when I get into a state of demotivation is my morning routine. I'm not a fan of the 5 o'clock in the morning club. That is the middle of the night for me. But I do think that having a routine which sets you up for motivation and success really helps. So my morning routine normally consists of me opening my eyes, catching myself thinking about all the things that I need to do. And then I remind myself that I need to think of 3 things that I'm grateful for. And it's just three things. Some days it's harder than others. Sometimes it's just a case that, you know, oh, it's not raining, or yay, I've got a cup of coffee coming up. And other days it's big things like my family, my clients, my business, my future, all types of things. But I find I have to start with three things that I'm grateful for. Then I don't jump out of bed. I drag myself out of bed, not being a morning person. And I have three affirmations that I say. And the affirmations are, I say as if they've already happened. And the key to these types of affirmations, I'm not a big fan of woo-woo, but and affirmations, I'm not too keen on saying the word. So I'm actually going to call them positive statements.
Right.
The key to them is actually looking at myself in the mirror, really looking. We all look in the mirror to put makeup on or do our hair or squeeze a spot or whatever it is, but we never really look at ourselves. And I smile as I say them so that I can feel the gratitude for these positive statements. And then the third thing that is in my morning routine, and people often, there's a lot of debate around this. It's a very military, it originates from the military. Make my bed.
Make your bed. Yeah.
Make my bed. And I never really understood what all the fuss was about in the Navy, about making your bed, you know, putting your counterpane on in a certain way, and yeah, everything had to be. They come along and they'd bounce a coin off of it. Awful. What's the point? You're only going to mess it up again in the evening. But what I've learned is that is the first job done. So you're already in an engaged and motivated frame of mind. You're already, the ball's already rolling, so to speak. You're no longer pushing it up the hill to get its own momentum. And to be honest, it probably takes me 5 seconds because I've just got a duvet. What's interesting though is when I start to notice I'm demotivated, it's the bed that I've stopped doing. That 5 seconds, and I'm not spending that 5 seconds to set me up, and then my motivation actually starts to dwindle over the week. So it's my morning routine that keeps me motivated. Something else I do is I block my calendar. I have like units of time. I think that was about a boy. Hugh Grant had units of time.
I
allocate each task a certain amount of units. And no one's allowed into those units except that task.
Oh, that's really good. So how difficult is that to do every day?
I only
not
do
let
it once
people
a week.
In.
So it's not easy in this day and age with Skype and Hangouts and all of that. It's just they're going off left, right and centre. But you have to educate people, don't you, that you'll call them back, you know, just because someone's calling you now doesn't mean you have to be available now. It's just a signal that someone's trying to get hold of you.
Yeah. That's quite difficult to do in these days as everything's instant, isn't it? I mean, everything is. If the phone goes, we tend to just reach and pick it up. We don't have to plan, I'm going to phone you at 7 o'clock. We just do it. If we text, Messenger, Skype, everything, you're just there available all the time. So do you often find that you would just reach and pick up the phone? I presume if it's your family you do, but if it's anything to do with anybody else, you tend, do you tend not to, or do you say no, that's my unit of time, I'm not going to answer the phone?
I actually don't have notifications on my phone. So I don't get distracted. And I find that is a great thing. You know, no, in the line of work that I do, there's not ever going to be any disasters as such. People might need support, but it's not going to hurt them if they wait for half an hour or an hour. And I find I also set the expectation with people as well. So I tell them I don't have notifications on my phone. So I have to physically go into all of these things to find them. So, yeah, it's just it's kind of about educating other people, but also being quite strict with yourself. The key to not having any notifications is you're not distracted, so you don't get drawn into things, and therefore it makes you a lot more productive. And when you're more productive, you have a lot more time for you, which is part of being fearlessly feminine, actually filling yourself up so that you can help more and more people.
Yeah. So would you be willing to share your affirmations?
Yes. So I'm not going to share them specifically because I'm
Right.
shy, but I have
Okay.
an income goal. I have an income goal that I basically
Okay.
say, I'm so grateful that I have this amount of money in the bank. I'm so grateful that I am financially secure and financially free. I'm so
Wow.
grateful that I have X number of clients. So these are the types of things that I say to myself.
Okay.
I don't even say them in front of my partner because I do think they're really woo-woo.
I think so,
So,
yeah, because that's where they all started from, the woo-woo gang, didn't it?
yes.
But yes, don't worry,
Yes.
you're not alone. I've done it for years, so I do my I and I always make my bed in the morning.
Yes.
That's another military thing. Make your
Yes.
bed. If it's
But
the
it
first and the last thing that you do, it's the last thing I do before I go downstairs, make my bed.
Yeah.
So,
And it
yeah.
really does. It's you go from just dragging yourself out of bed to like, yes, tick, that thing's done. And then
Yes.
you're it's bizarrely fired up for it. It's an odd thing.
It is a very odd thing. But duvets, thank goodness for duvets.
Yeah. Not have counterpains anymore.
No, don't think I could do those. So one of the things is, so you've got your plan, you know what you want to do for the next 5 to 10 years. You keep motivated every day, and you start it very early in the not very early in the morning, because you're like me, it's 5 o'clock club, I'm never going to do.
No.
I might open one eye and go, yes, it's 5 o'clock, and go back to bed, or back to sleep. So you start your day of in a very sort of not regimented way, but a certain way, so that you know this is how you start your day.
Yeah.
What do you do? Just out of curiosity, you've had your breakfast, you've said hello to your partner and your son, and everything's gone on. Now they've all gone and you're at home. How do you keep motivated to keep doing what you do? Because as you say, we all have those days that I'd much rather curl up on the sofa and watch Netflix all day, or rock yourself going, why am I doing this? How do you keep
Yes.
yourself motivated every day to do what you do? Because I've read a lot of, and if anybody's interested, your Facebook page is.
It's Fearlessly Feminine Secrets to Confidence, Happiness and Success.
Very short, as everyone
Yeah,
can hear. Very
catchy.
short. Yeah, very catchy little tune here. So,
Yeah,
how do you
Fearlessly
keep your.
Feminine will find us.
It will do, yeah. So, how do you keep yourself motivated daily to do what you do? Because it's amazing what you do.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for me is to notice how I'm feeling. And if I'm not feeling amazing, I might only put, actually, that's not true. Even if I'm feeling amazing, and I have to stop myself here, I only put three things on my to-do list. And if I'm not feeling amazing, doing one out of three is a 33% hit rate. That's not too bad. If I've got 30 things on my to-do list, that's my math is terrible. 1%?
Yes.
Maybe edit my math out.
That's
But
fine.
it's much less. So I only ever give myself three things to do. And one three things will happen. One, I won't get all of my to-do list done, but it's okay because I've done at least one. Because it's a small list, it's not overwhelming. This I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to do a lot of things. And sometimes it's not the right thing to do that day. We don't only have masses of emotions as women, we also have hormones that really come along and mess everything up for us. So we have to be aware of that and not put too much pressure on ourselves. Because if I sat there looking at my to-do list, thinking, oh, I haven't done much today, I'm just beating myself up. There's plenty of people that are queuing up to do that to all of us, so we don't need to do it to ourselves. Something else that might happen is you might get all three done, and that's a nice feeling when you finish your to-do list. But what I find normally happens is I do one thing, and then very quickly I'm motivated, and I do the second thing and the third thing, and then I add more to it after that point, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So only when I've done those three do any more get added. And one thing that I think demotivates people is procrastination. And if you have tasks on your to-do list that you don't want to do, you'll do everything you can to avoid it, including slowing down your progress as you get closer to it. So Brian Tracy talks about eating frogs, and you really do have to just hold your nose and eat them. The bigger and uglier they are, just get them down your throat. Make that your number one task for the day. If you do nothing else, you have to deal with that big, fat, ugly, slimy frog. And again, that picks up the momentum. It's like making your bed. You've got that ball rolling and you feel so good because you've knocked a nasty frog off your list. It's kind of, you have to trick yourself into motivating yourself almost every day, but also be kind on the days when you weren't able to. Put an end date on that. I call those pity parties on days when I can't do anything. That's today. Tomorrow it all has to go back to being motivated. So yeah. I'm not going to say I stay motivated every single day, but these are the things that I've learned.
Yeah, because I like the eating the frog. I was told by one of my coaches that I've had is to reward yourself. So do the big thing that you really don't want to do, or it's a bit difficult or you're uncomfortable doing it. Do that and reward yourself with an easy task.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like chocolate, isn't it?
Yeah.
So rather than eating chocolate, or else we'll all be big as a house, do the hard task, and then your reward will be the easy task, rather than what people usually do is I'll do all the easy tasks.
Yeah.
Cause that means that my to-do list is smaller now, but that big task will never get done, because as you say, we pull it out, we extend the time that easy task would take us to do.
Exactly. And all we end up with is a big bag of nasty frogs.
Yeah.
So that day, that list is not going to be fun at all.
No, it's not. It's going to need more than chocolate to get through that list.
It's going to need gin.
So do you have a plan in place to get to your goal? Because have you got like steps? Because how I see it is we have this massive, great big goal that we're all aiming for. We have an idea to begin with how we're getting to it. We're going to get to it, achieve it. But often that plan doesn't, something changes. So we pivot, but we're still going towards the goal. So do you have a sort of, not a set plan, but an idea of a plan? Are you on step one or step five or step 10 of the plan? You know, how have you know what you want, how are you going to get there?
Yeah, so I do set myself big goals. And I try to not think about the how, I just think about the what. And what I find is the how comes, it sort of appears in different ways. So one thing I was going to do, you're talking about pivoting, was I was going to launch a 6-week program for women. And actually what I've realized is, I was just talking about getting overwhelmed, that might be quite overwhelming to go through that amount of personal growth in 6 weeks. I mean, it's taken me all my life to get here and it's overwhelming. So what I've actually done now is I've pivoted into planning a monthly subscription for coaching support, learning and activities that you can do to actually improve how you feel. And that was a real pivot, because way back, you know, a couple of months ago, it was all about the coaching. Then it was all about reaching more people. But although it may seem like I'm flip-flopping, I'm heading in a direction where everything's actually funneling together really nicely. The coaching and the program that I'd already developed is actually going to form part of the monthly subscription. It's not going to be all of it. So it's actually evolving. And for me, the how is like a jigsaw that kind of puts another step ahead of you just as you get to that point. So it's coming together. So the subscription is the way that at the moment I'm going to aim for my goal.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because sometimes you start sort of small, then you realize, as you said, that it's taking you years to actually get where you are now. And to try and say to somebody, you could be like me in 6 weeks, is unrealistic.
It would be priceless though, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah. Just give me all your money, you'll be fine in 6 weeks. And
yeah.
No guaranteed return. So this monthly subscription, it will be, do you think it would take more of your time and be harder, or do you think it would take more of your time and be enjoyable for you as well as for your members?
I think it's going to be different types of time. At the moment, I spend a lot of time, which I love doing, coaching people, coaching women, and that's what I want to carry on doing. But I also want to be able to help people that either don't want to be coached or coaching just isn't for them right now for whatever reason. So this is a way that I can spend my time to help people that want to just dip their toe in. We're not all ready to just jump in. And I'm creating content anyway. So for me, I don't know that it's going to be extra time. It's just going to be different time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And
yeah.
Also, it'll be open to, as you say, a lot of people, and I think we all were one of them at one stage that thought, oh, I don't need a coach, but I'd much rather go online. And it's quite personable, isn't it? It's a private moment if you're doing an online course than actually having a phone call with a coach. Sort of talking about, you know, where you are in your life and what you want out of it. A lot of people aren't comfortable in that stage. I mean, we're both coaches, so we both know that it's not breaking down the barrier, but to actually get people to open up and say what they really want, because it always starts with, so how are you? but half an hour in, they're actually saying, well, it's all falling apart. And they could have said that at the beginning. So
or even weeks before. I've got an amazing set of clients, and I had one lady. She took a little while to open up, and when she did, I was so relieved because this meant I could now help her. But she wasn't ready before that.
No.
So they have to. Everyone goes on their own journey, and I think that helped me realise that to change the way you think about yourself in 6 weeks is a huge thing. It's certainly doable, but you also do need to build in time for everything to settle in and people to get used to it. And I don't want to pressure people into having coaching if it's not what's right for them, but I still want to be able to help them.
Yeah, exactly. And without actually sort of going around the world sort of saying, here I am, I'm here to help you, membership would be an absolutely brilliant idea. So it is because it's called Fiercely Feminine, if only I heard myself. It's for women. It's to find their feminine side of their masculine output that we put, which is because we tend to, because we're, especially if you're a career-minded person and you're in a masculine world, we tend to do that, don't we? We tend to become one of the boys.
Yeah, we do.
And you also, it's because if you want to get promoted, you seem to think you need to do exactly the same. And do you find that nowadays it's sort of changing more than it was 10 years ago?
No, actually, I don't think it is. I think it's getting better in that there's more and more women at board level and in senior management posts. So there is definitely a lot more roles that women fulfill, but we're still very judged. I was very judged for being a woman, for having a different approach. And so then I did play the role of the man manager, for want of a better phrase. I did play, you know, and it was playing, and it didn't fit nicely with me. I didn't sleep very well because I was worried all the time. But actually, if I'd just been me as a manager instead of pretending to be someone else as a manager, I would have had better sleep and would have been a better manager.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Was it because you felt like they were going to find out that actually you weren't the man? You know, not because they didn't know physically that you weren't, but... You didn't think the same, and because we think differently. Our approach to management is different.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, we all want to fit in. We all want to fit in, and if that way has always worked, especially women, we overthink things. So we think, well, maybe we need to behave like that. And in my past, I have been a bit of a pleaser. You know, so I've complied. I'm sure you won't imagine this now, but I was a bit compliant. If I was told I needed to be stricter or more formal, and that was the way that I would do it. So I did play a role, and it just didn't work for me. But what was interesting was when the role that I last had before I went out as a coach, I was in a completely male environment on a topic that I knew nothing about, and all I could rely on was myself and my leadership skills. When I became a feminine leader, they excelled as a team, which was amazing. And something else happened. I gave my partner his balls back, for want of a better phrase. He became, not that he's a feminine man at all, he's a very masculine man, but he became my hero. And he'd always just been an amazing man, but he started stepping up and taking that role. And I realized I'd been controlling not just my work previously, but I'd been controlling everything. And when you let go of some of that control, you allow people to be who they really are too. So that job that I took, where I could only rely on me, my personality and my skills as a manager, was a really pivotal moment for me when this whole fearlessly feminine idea came into being. And in fact, I remember having a conversation with one of my team, and he said, "Boss, do you find it hard being a woman here?" And I said, "No, I love it, because I get to see things from a different point of view, and you guys respond differently to me when I'm just being me as a girl." Yeah. So it was a really powerful role that I took for myself.
Yeah, I think, I mean, my career was, I was always in logistics, which is so masculine, and being in the service like yourself, which is the most masculine place to ever work, regardless how many women are in it. It's all within the thing. And it does reflect on your personal life, because you still think you need to be in control and in charge, because that's what you are in your business life. So it's nice to see that once you took that thought and you did that, no, this is not me. I can't do this every day. I can't be somebody that somebody else wants me to be. I have to be me.
Yeah.
It's actually people within your environment actually started to notice and also liked you being you, because sometimes we don't think that's what's going to happen. We think the opposite is going to happen.
Yeah, we do. We're very scared of that, aren't we?
Yeah. So with this fearlessly feminine, and also for yourself, how do you see that you're going to make a difference? What is your plan? Because we all like to be financially free, and you've said that a couple of times. We all do. We all want to know that we can pay every single bill every single month, and it doesn't matter. We don't have to think about it. It just happens. But what other way do you find that you're going to make a difference, that you're actually aiming to make a difference in?
So my why is to help women really have peace in their minds. I know our minds never are peaceful generally, but I want all women to be able to look in the mirror, really look in the mirror and go, you know what? I like what I see, or even better, I love what I see. And that comes from within. No one can give us that. We have to work on ourselves. Like, we have to go to the gym if we want to tone up or lose weight. We have to work on it. But no one ever really teaches us to do it. And so for me, if I could help even one woman look in that mirror and feel that. And what's beautiful about coaching one-to-one is that you can hear and you can see when the worry lifts and when people think, you know what, I'm being hard on myself. I need to stop this. And you can actually see their physiology changing. So that for me is, you know, I want women to look in the mirror and like what they see, genuinely like what they see, and preferably love.
Yeah, and that's an amazing thing to do. So you still would do one-to-one coaching, you think? I think they'd be wheeling us out. We're still doing one-to-one coaching.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I'm not going to stop doing that. It's going to be an option within the membership for people that are ready to do it. If they're not ready, that's fine. There's still lots of stuff there for them, including lots of me. But if people did want to have one-to-one coaching in addition, that is going to be an option, because it's a beautiful thing to work with someone as a coach, isn't it?
Yes, it is. To watch people grow and be, as you say, their true self and find their true meaning, because that's the reason why we tend to do it. And that's, I know it sounds a bit woo-woo, but we'll go down there because that's what it
there.
Is. We're going there regardless. So you have a podcast.
Yes.
And
yes,
where
I do.
Can we get,
it's called Fearlessly Feminine.
And where can we get your podcast?
It's on Spotify, Stitcher, soon to be on iTunes, anywhere that you'd normally get your podcast, it's going to be there.
Fabulous. So it's Fearlessly Feminine. And if we look on your Facebook, we can just find you putting Fearlessly Feminine. I won't say the rest of it because it just is really long.
I need to shorten the title, don't I? Make it easier to find. I will do that. Fearlessly
all
Feminine.
All the rules have been broken. We just keep it plain and simple. But yes, are you anywhere else? Can they get hold of you anywhere else, my listeners, if they want
yes.
to contact you?
Yes, so I have a website, which is www.fearlesslyfeminine.co.uk. And my email address is hello@fearlesslyfeminine.co.uk.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Eloise, this has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best with your course. I'll be looking out for it. I do listen to your podcast. So
thank
more
you.
Episodes, please. We want more episodes.
Thank you.
And for my listeners, do the affirmations. Eloise isn't on her own. We all tend to do it. And you'll find that a lot of high-performing people actually do this. They say three gratitudes when they get before they get out of bed, before their toe hits the floor, and
yep.
three affirmations when work. And I do it when I'm cleaning my teeth, which is hilarious because there's so much toothpaste over my mirror. It's unbelievable. So yeah, it's just one of those things that you do because you've got to start the day believing in yourself. And if you can start the day believing in yourself and be grateful for that you've woken up the next that day. And for what's around you, then your day's a really good start. And don't forget to make your bed every day.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a must do.
It is. So thank you again, Eloise. It's been an absolute joy. And I wish you all the luck.
Thank you for having me, Lou.
You're more than welcome.